I want to welcome you guys today. My name is Eddie Hill. I am not a football coach. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'm mainly a coach's coach. I work with a lot of different coaches and a lot of different companies on motivation. I'm not a motivational speaker per se, but what I do try to do is I help other people motivate their employees and motivate their players. Okay? Would that help y'all? I guarantee you, when you leave today, you will have an edge over your opponent. And that's a pretty bold statement, right? But the deal is I'm going to help you how to understand players better. Okay? There are four types of players. We're going to talk about what the four kind of players are, and then we're going to talk about Mr. Indifferent. Y'all may have met this particular player. Doesn't care as much. Laughs on the back of the bus when you lose and you're pissed off. Have you heard about these players? Two games into the season, they seem like they're not near as enthused as they once were. You know what I'm talking about now? Player who doesn't want anything to do with spring workout. And it's almost pulling teeth to get them to come into the summer, right? So we're going to talk about the Mr. Indifferent kind of player. Last week in Houston, that was a big topic for a lot of coaches. They were really requesting, how can we handle that type of player? And we're going to specifically talk about that. One thing I want to say is I disagree wholeheartedly with Lou Holtz. Probably on a lot of things, but one thing in particular. He said that motivation is simple. The way to motivate is to what? Remove the unmotivated ones. That's what he said. It's simple. Just remove the unmotivated ones. And yet, I haven't met a kid yet that we couldn't motivate. Frankly, when I was in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, I'm glad they didn't remove me. Right? Anybody else find that? Am I the only guy up here that at some point in your life you probably weren't the most motivated young man? Raise your hand. Right? So we don't want to remove anyway. Right? What we want to do is understand these players and work with them. Because I can tell you this, they need it. Right? They need it bad. Players want to do two things. They want to believe and they want to belong. Do you agree? Let's see some heads nodding. They want to believe and they want to belong. I really believe that. And we're going to talk more about what that means. A speaker last week at church got up there and said, I want y'all to know we got everything, all the money we need for our church this week. We got all the money we need for all the bills. We can pay the preacher. We got all the money we need. That's the good news. The bad news is it's still in your pocket. So the good news is today we got all the knowledge we need. We've got a book coming out. It goes to the publisher on Tuesday called The Coach's Motivational Playbook. And it's a how-to for coaches on how to motivate players. Because what I found is there are a lot of quote books out there, but I don't know what you guys use day in and day out to motivate players. I guess you, what do you use? Your experience? You read autobiographies? You watch SportsCenter? Your wife tells you what you ought to try, right? What else do y'all do for exercises and ideas? Here's what I'm talking about. A coach last week, Friday night, came up with one. He said, here's what I did. And first of all, let me say this. All this is stolen from somebody, okay? And in the coaching world, it's hard to remember who said what, right? But this coach Friday night says, well, I'll be honest with you. I was struggling in the middle of practice one day with the issue of teamwork, and I didn't know what to do. He said, so I called over this big kid, and I said, come here, Johnson. And he brings this kid up here in front of all his players. And he says, young man, if I took my open hand and I slapped you across the face, would that hurt? If I took my hand and I slapped you across the face, would it hurt? And guess what the player said? Come on now. Would that hurt? Yes, sir, that would hurt. Would it send you to the hospital?
No, sir.
It would not send. Now, if I took this open hand and I closed it like this and made it to a fist, would that do some damage?
Yes, sir.
Guys on our team, that's what we're talking about. Your effort wanting to be like this or like a team that works together and is powerful. Thank you. Where do you get that stuff, right? You know as well as I do, you talk and talk and talk. Bear Bryant says, you talk to players, and if you yell at players all the time, what happens? Goes in one ear and out the other. So you always have to come up with ways, you know, things that you can use, right? So that's kind of some of the type stuff that we're going to hit on today. Bum Phillips said this, The key to a winning team is getting average players to play good and your good players to what? Play great. Everybody knows that, right? Get your good players to play, your average players to play good and your good players to play great. In other words, you want everyone to raise the bar, right? The question is, though, how do we do that? Let's talk about the four kind of football players. And then we're also going to talk about Mr. Indifferent. The first kind of kid that you may have heard of, fortunately, I hope you have, is the leader. This kid gets results. Now, keep in mind here, we're going to talk about the four kinds of players. Obviously, players bleed back and forth over, okay? However, most of them have a predominant personality. I've given personality inventories to literally 1,000 people. I've got to do it tomorrow for another company. I'd rather be playing golf. But tomorrow, I'm going to give his personality inventory to these employees. And it's going to be amazing how accurate it's going to be. The first type of person, though, is called a leader. And they're results-oriented. They get things done. These players, you don't have to motivate. They are going to motivate you. One coach told me, these type of players motivate me to be a better coach. Anybody having these players like this? Raise your hand. You got some of these, right? Probably not a whole team full, right? You may not want a whole team full because there's also a downside. And it is, in addition to getting results, they also have an extremely strong personality. And if they're a middle linebacker, they got one word in their vocabulary, and it's attack, which is a great thing for a middle linebacker, right? Again, you don't have to motivate them. The setback can be, though, sometimes they're too direct. And somebody tell me another reason why they could be a little bit negative. This is the point in which I pull it out of your pocket. What's another reason why this player actually might be frustrating to a coach? Think a little bit. He's results-oriented. He's going hard driving. He's going to get there. He expects what of everybody else? To do the same. Is everyone else that way? They're not that way. He is a great example. When you get a results-oriented kid, it is wonderful. But you're going to find other kids at times just can't handle him because they don't understand. They don't understand why he gets up at 5:30 in the morning and runs and jogs and works out before the other kids even brush his teeth. Right? And I know as coaches, a lot of y'all in this room would fall into this category. Nobody tells you how you have to prepare. Right? Anybody make you come to Dallas? Y'all got something else y'all could be doing this afternoon? Absolutely. But my hunch is you came to learn. A coach told me, I saw him earlier, and he said he was in Houston Friday night. And I said, well, you were in Houston last Friday night, and you're up here tonight. What's the deal? He said, I want to learn. My hunch is he's a results-oriented kind of person. They can be a huge help to the team. The problem is there are very few players like this. Would you agree to this point? Okay. Some examples. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan. And in coaching, Pat Summitt. Can you see her stand there? And I can't remember the coach's name at TCU, Iba. Remember Iba? He would stand. I used to go in there. I went to TCU. He'd stand on that sideline. He'd cross his arms. He'd be going, bam, bam. Results-oriented kind of folks. The next kind of player is what we call the goofy, lighthearted kid. He is motivated by people. Motivated by people. And what I mean by that is he's talkative, he's funny, he's inspirational, extremely optimistic. I mean, you can cut him and he'll say, okay, coach, you know, that's not really true, but you know what I mean? He's motivated by people. And what does he want more than anything else in this world? A player that's motivated by people wants what? He wants to please. He wants to please. Well, you know what? Let him. If that's his motivation and he wants to please, and you know you can get something out of him, then get after it. However, how are you going to motivate him? He's different than the results guy. That player is on his own. He's fine. But this kid, how do you motivate him, knowing what you just know and just said? How do you motivate him? With praise. You got to give him some praise, some extra praise, some extra attention. You got to talk to him. You simply have to take the time to talk to him. If you don't have time to talk to him, you're in the wrong profession. You've got to talk to him. let him know, like all the rest of them, he's important, whether he's a starter or not. Okay? Now, there's a danger zone here for this type of player. What's the danger zone for him? What do you have to be careful of with this type of player? You can't get him after him too hard. That's exactly right, Coach. He is extremely sensitive. Extremely. And he likes to please, and when he feels like he's not, sometimes he'll go one or two ways. They are extremely thin skin. So you got to be careful. And let me tell you, you know when you got into him in a negative way? When he's what? When he's quiet. You know, maybe I went a little too far. I'm not trying to turn y'all into junior psychologists here, but I can tell you this, there's something to this. Okay? Danger to self and the team. Some examples of this. Neon Dion, Clinton, Lou Holtz, Jim Valvano. People that are inspirational. Let me tell you one great thing about this player, though. When you're 0-4, there's going to be one player that's still super positive. And guess who that's going to be? This kid right here. This kid right here will continue to support your program and will be infectious in a good way to the other players. Now, the third group of players is what we call the limited talent, hard worker. Y'all got any of these? The limited talent, hard worker. Raise your hand if you'd say 50% of your team fall in this category. 60, somebody said. Let's spend a little more time on them because you got so many of them. Okay, let's talk about the limited talented hard worker, motivated by security and stability. And they are the backbone of the team. 60% of players. Let's talk about these players. Number one, they're usually quiet. They're shy. They don't say a lot. They're motivated by one thing, and you may find this surprising, security and stability. They're nervous. Why are they nervous? What's going to happen to them, Luke? What do they think might happen to them? They might miss something. They might lose their position, or they may not get to stay on the team. These kids are all about security and stability, and they want things the same. So as a coach, when you go to change this kind of player, he does what? He reacts all wigging out, you know, and I don't know, Coach. You know, you got me a defensive end. I'm kind of gotten used to that, and I kind of like that, and I'm comfortable with that. He didn't want to get outside that comfort zone. But it's not a bad thing to push him outside his comfort zone. And why is that? If he's worried about what? What's he worried about? So is he going to fail? No way. You think he's going to let you take that jersey off him? You think he's going to let them take that locker away? No way. As a matter of fact, my hunch is he'll rise up every time. We hope. Right? But challenge them. It's okay. They generally don't quit and they don't complain. They come to work, they come to practice, they do a good job, and they usually excel. Now let's talk a little more about how to motivate them, okay? There's some things that you can do. Number one, you have to make them see how valuable they are to the team. That's very important. Make them understand how valuable they are to the team. And that's when we start doing all this teamwork stuff, and we do different kind of exercises and stuff that we're going to talk about. Like a coach in Arkansas told me a couple weeks ago, do you realize these kids are one turned ankle from being on the front page of the sports section? In other words, what's going to happen? Something happens, he's going to be in the game immediately. And so we've got to build his confidence so he's prepared. You've got to make them understand how valuable they are to the team. So how do you do that? How do you make them feel valuable? Tell them. Absolutely. Talk to them. Do you see a reoccurring theme here about communicating with your players? Talk to your players. Some coaches have the idea that, you know, if I'm too nice, if I talk to them too much, then they won't respect me. No one ever died from too much appreciation. But there are some players starving from it. They want someone to appreciate them. 60%, according to the Harris poll, 60% of employees in America do not feel appreciated. They say that no one tells them they appreciate them. tell your players how much you appreciate them. Okay? Second thing, show appreciation and be specific. And there's a phrase I want you to repeat after me. And the phrase is this: see it, say it. On three. One, two, three. See it, say it. Anybody got an idea what that means? Somebody take a stab at it. What does see it, say it mean, Paul?
See them do something good. Let
them know. Absolutely. If you see a player do something good, you need to recognize it right then and there. I don't care if you do it 40 times a day. Here's what happens. I walk by Paul, and I see Paul has just run an excellent pass route. And I walk by Paul, and I'm thinking, what? That was good. He's getting it, man. We've been working on those pass routes. We talked about it, and he did it. He did it good. And the coach does what? He keeps walking. And Paul's over here thinking, what? Yeah. What do you say? Damn. Did you hear that? We can say that. Damn. Does the coach even recognize or know that I have been working really hard to get it right? It's extremely important to stop and say, Paul, good job. And good job especially on that pass route. You ran it perfectly, son. Guess what? You're going to have to say that again to him? He may never miss another pass route again. And the reason is you have given him praise and in his brain left a mark that says, good job. You have reinforced that behavior. Here's the good news. 2 days later, 3 days later, you're going to catch him doing something else that's good. And you're going to be able to say, hey, Paul, good job on that. See how it works? Repeat after me on three. One, two, three. See it, say it. I have a Christmas lighting company in Dallas. We do 41 houses. We did 41 houses this year. Seminar business kind of slow in the holidays, right? So we've been hanging Christmas lights now 10 years. I work for these two women. I work for all these women because husbands don't want to do these lights, right? So they call us. We go out there. I work for these two women. They're both about this tall. One of them's a grandmother and one of them's a daughter. And I go out there, you know, with my crew and I knock on the door. And I know as soon as I get there, what's going to happen? She brings me in the door. Oh, Eddie, I'm so glad to see you. Oh, it's great to see you. Thank you for coming. I need that light bulb change right there. And when you get done with that, do you mind hanging this picture for me over here? And I'm doing what? I'm changing light bulb. And oh, bless you, Eddie. Thank you, Eddie. I'm going out in the backyard picking up whatever, you know. And she says, oh, thank you, Eddie. Is that human nature? Is it about the money? No. They take the time to do what? Say thank you. I appreciate you. And we jump through hoops for it. Your players are the same way. Your players are starving to be recognized. Players want to do two things. They want to believe and they want to belong. Right? So let them know how important they are. This group of players in particular, to develop their talent, this is the kind of player that's not the most talent in the whole world. Help them to develop their talent in small ways. In other words, give them some smaller goals that they can accomplish. Give them something they can do. If you call a player in at summertime and you say, Philip, you know, you're able to bench 160 pounds. That's pretty good. But where do you think we can get you? Where do you need to be stronger? And what's he going to say? He may say 190. And you're thinking what? He's 160. This summer he's going to go up 30 pounds. Not legally. And you're thinking what? What? That's a good idea. But let's do this. I tell you what. In a month, let's be at what? 170? 165? Let's be benching 165, 170. You think that's a realistic goal? In other words, give him something that he can achieve and do well at. He's going to blow past that. And he's going to be pumping because it's a realistic goal. Right? So give him something and let him experience some success. A lot of players never get to do that. Coaches, y'all get pats on the back all the time, right? A lot of players, though, don't always feel that, especially some of the underachievers. So give them something they can do, something that you know they're going to get right. And then it gets what? Bigger and bigger and bigger. But let them have some joy. Let them have some excitement. Some people that, it's kind of funny, it's hard to come up with some examples of this because you don't hear a lot about them, right? And a lot of linemen fall in this category, by the way. They're quiet, they come to work, they do a good job. But some examples, Joe Dumars. You ever remember hearing Joe Dumars say a word? He came, he did a heck of a job, and right? He didn't want the limelight. A lot of these guys are that way. Annika Sorenstam doesn't like to say a lot, don't want to be interviewed. And then I'm going to give you a coach. Any fired cowboy coach. No, I'm kidding. Dave Campo. Was Dave Campo a workman guy? How many years was he an assistant coach? Worked, came to work every day, did a good job, wasn't about the limelight, and became very successful. Let's talk now about Mr. Indifferent. Any questions yet about the first three? We've talked about the kid that is results-oriented. I think you got a good feel for him. We've talked about the kid that's people-oriented. And we've also talked about the kid with not a whole lot of talent. What would you add? What have y'all done that would help in the way of working with that third player in particular? Tell me something. Somebody. Let's come up with two or three. Come on now. What have y'all done? You got a kid, not a lot of talent, but you're going to help him. So what have you done?
You're saying Mr. Indifferent is not talented?
No, I'm saying he can be, absolutely. No, not at all. I'm still talking about the first three. Hadn't got to Mr. Indifferent yet. I'm sorry I wasn't clear. I'm talking about the third player, the steady one, stability, the one with not a lot of talent. The kid that works hard, but he doesn't have a whole lot of talent. How have y'all helped develop that? Keep encouraging. Okay, good. What else? What else y'all done? Anything else?
Limit his role.
Say again?
Limit his role.
Yes. Did you say limit? Yeah, limit your role. There's a reason why they call them role players. Now, not that he can't excel right out of that, right? But he could be a role player. It's important to play your role on the team, right? A coach and friend of mine in Rockwall, I asked him about, do you use stickers and that kind of stuff on football helmets? He said, yeah, I give stickers. He said, but I give a sticker to every player on the team. I'm sorry, every player on the field when they score a touchdown. That's what he said. He said, it takes all 11 of them to score one, so why not acknowledge all of them instead of just the one kid? Pretty interesting. Yes, sir?
You can give them a certain responsibility, but, like a little one, it doesn't make
Make him feel important. Absolutely. I'm sure y'all saw the story on ESPN last night or the night before about the trainer basketball player. You hear about this kid? True story. It was on ESPN the other night. It blows me away. The kid's an athletic trainer in Pennsylvania or somewhere. And I want to say has autism. And has been a trainer all year. And the kid wanted to get in the basketball game. Last game of the season, coach decides to put him in the game. Puts this kid in the game. First shot the kid takes, it missed the gym. I mean, it just literally missed everything up there. Then, guess what happened? Did anybody else see this? He made six three-pointers in a row. did you see him? Whoosh! I'm over here. Whoosh! It was incredible. You never know, do you? You never know. And so, those first three, and I appreciate the suggestions you gave. Any other for the first three before we talk about Mr. Indifferent?
More repetitions because he's an ankle turn away from starting.
Yes, sir. He's saying give him more repetition because he's an ankle turn away from starting. Absolutely. Give him more reps. In the book we got coming out Tuesday, the guy that's helped me co-write this said he went to a basketball game, and the one coach just wasn't prepared with the team. And what happened is a player fouled out, another player got hurt, and his bench was seven deep. He had to go to eight players. Jim said the four players on the bench left over were sitting there like this. I mean, literally. And the coach goes over to the bench, and the four players are doing this right here. What does that say? Are they ready? Absolutely not. And he reaches out finally. I mean, he just stands there. Finally, the referee says, sorry, coach, you got to put somebody in. Come on. What is that about, right? What I like is what the coach from Coach Hughes. Where was Coach Hughes?
Dunbar.
Coach Hughes' son on TV the other night. Did you see what he said about his players? How many players on a basketball team? Sit. How many on a basketball team? How many players? Not five, but how many on a team?
12.
He said the news show the other night was, I get 12 players ready for a game. He said, I get 12 players ready for a game. And they interviewed one kid who was like number 11 or 12, and they said, what's the deal? And he said, I'm ready. I never know when he's going to call on me. I may not be in the game very long, but what? I'm ready. How do you think he practices during the week? As if he's going to play in a game, right? So as coaches, we want to try to get these guys in the competition. Get them into competition. Four reasons why players play football or any other athletics. Number one, they want to have fun. Number two, they want to be there with their friends. Number three, they want to be on a team. And number four, they want to compete. They really do want to compete. So what does that say if they don't get in the game? How long would you stick around if you never got in? Do you love game day? Do you love it? You love game day? You get up in the morning, you get excited. You can't wait for the game. You draw up plays. You think about this and you try to figure out that. And you're all excited and you can't sleep. They're the same way. They're the exact same way. So give them an opportunity to play, to get a taste, and to excel. Did you see, anybody see the movie Glory Road? Star player goes down, sitting on a bench. The mother comes to the coach and says, "Coach, can he play, please? I don't care if it's 5 seconds or 5 minutes. Can he play, please?" Competition. You love it. They love it too. As much as you can, give them a taste of it. If you have to, simulate competition in your practices. You want to motivate people? Simulate competition. That's what they like. Again, there's four reasons why kids play. Have fun, be with their friends, to be on a team, and to compete. Okay? Now, Mr. Indifferent, they're a little different animal. They're about what? Say again. Themselves, yes, sir. You win the prize. They're about themselves, usually. Here's what's funny, though. They're really about their friends. They're from Generation Y. We've been studying all this Generation Y stuff. That's a different bunch of kids than Generation X. Generation Y, the kids that you're coaching right now, let me tell you what they're about. Number one, they're smarter than we are. Just ask them. They grew up with the internet. They've never lived without it. They're totally connected. They have a PDA. They have a BlackBerry. They have a cell phone. They have Lord knows what else. They're connected to the world. They're connected to their friends, and it's about their friends. On a school bus, coming home from a game, if you lose, they're going to be doing what back there? Laughing, joking, care. They don't care. You know why? Because the game is over. Hey, coach, we played. Game's over. That's how Generation Y, a lot of them, think, frankly. And here's what's funny. You know where that came from? Anybody want to guess where that came from? From when they're little guys and they play soccer. And they don't keep score. And we build everybody's self-esteem. And you get a ribbon no matter what. Let's have some fun. That's a good thing, to build their self-esteem like that. But the problem is when they get older, they don't understand you got to work hard to succeed. You see what happens? So as coaches, what do? I think what we got to do is we got to look back at this list. Number one, I think you got to really work on making practices fun. Number two, you got to let them be with their friends. It's okay. They're out there with their friends. The other thing is let them be on a team. Make them understand how special it is to be on your team. In other words, the first time they ever wear your logo, do you make it a big deal? Is it a big deal? You let anybody wear it? Hell no. That's your logo. There are people that have gone before you that put some effort into that. Understand? It's an important thing when they get to be on the team. So make it special and make them work to earn it. Did the Dallas Cowboys let anybody wear the star? You ever seen anything but an absolute top athlete wear a Red Bull logo? You know the company Red Bull, the drink and all that? You ever notice that? If you're not the absolute tip-top athlete, you do not wear their logo. Period. When you are trying to motivate players, understand what's important to them, and they want to be on the team. So make it important to them. Find ways to do that. Get some people to come in from the program, some former players, some coaches, and let them talk to them about what it's going to be like to be on this team because it's special. If your team's not winning, let me give you a tip. And I got this from a coach who was in the panhandle. What Ron said was he went to a school and he had a losing tradition. And he was trying to think of ways to turn the tradition around. So what he thought was, he said, let's have a victory flag. He said, I don't know where I came up with this idea. I'm sure I stole it from somebody. He said, we need a victory flag. And he told his head coach, we need a victory flag. And the head coach said, a what? And his coach said, you know what? When we win our first ball game, I think we ought to get a flag, and we ought to fly it on the pole in front of the school so the whole town can see that we won. And the head coach said, I'm afraid that thing may stay in that box and rot. Because they hadn't won but like a game or two, they said, over some years. And Ron said, I really think it might work. So they told the players, and they had a company from Amarillo make a big flag. And he told the players about this victory flag. Well, the players started telling the cheerleaders, and the word started getting out in the community. And it kind of started creating a little buzz. So they even took that flag to a store and put it on display. And they said, this year when we win, we're going to fly this flag. So people started getting excited. Ron said, thank God they won the first game. He said, we got back to the school, and there were hundreds of people at midnight waiting to do what? To fly that flag. Said the whole town rallied around that team. They went on to win 6 games that year, and they began to build what? A winning tradition. He took a creative idea and went with it. And that was a great idea. So you got to have fun. You got to make it fun. Make it special to be on a team and get them into competition. Let's talk about some other issues with some of these players. Obviously, they hate to practice. They don't like spring. They don't like summer workout because it's not fun. They only like the games. But what you have to do is you have to teach them how you do have to work to be successful. Isn't that true? And I'll be honest with you, I think winning is fun. Anybody agree with me? I think winning is fun. Okay, so you want to have more fun? Then we have to work to get there, right? Two go hand in hand. Therefore, you got to make it fun. So let's talk about some ways to do it. How many have endless budgets in here? I can throw out all kind of ideas, and you can just go back and tell your AD, hey, I need about $5,000 to do something. Nobody. So let's talk about some fun things that are fun, that are motivating, that won't cost you. How about this? A coach in Arkansas last week was telling me they do flex day. Anybody else do a flex day? You don't know what it is. Flex day. You probably do. You just probably call it something different. Flex day is this. In the spring workouts, they do what's called flex day. All these kids are pumping iron, right? And they're looking at themselves in the mirror. So what he decided to do was have flex day. And so they have what? It looks like a bodybuilding contest, he said. These kids get all waxed up, you know, and they come, these kids are like 98 pounds, man. This kid's coming out there, you know, and he's looking for a muscle, man, you know, but he's up there doing what? Guess what's going to happen? He's going to get bigger, and he's going to get stronger. They're excited about flex day. And so year after year after year, they're excited about flex day. When do they do flex day? Do they do it in the fall? No, they don't need it in the fall. They do it in the spring or the summer, and they invite people in, they do music, and they make it a big deal. Isn't that a pretty cool idea? Flex day. Hey, guys, we've got flex day coming up. It's important. You know, you want to work hard. You want to put in some extra effort, and they'll do it. Another thing is, give recognition to hit goals. That's a bad-looking carrot right there. Little carrot. It wasn't Patton, said, players, it was Napoleon. Players will die. Soldiers will go to battle for a medal. They'll go to battle and die for a medal. That's obviously an extreme, but here's the point. Have a carrot for the players. This is a $2 medal. I get at trophy shops, and I use them all the time. I had an event yesterday. We use these $2 medals. People will go crazy and exert all kind of energy and effort for what? A $2 medal. For a box of Skittles, for a candy bar, for a Coke, for whatever. We all want something. And we all want something to work for. So try some of those things. Think about things that you can give them. Have fun team building events like a scavenger hunt. A young lady yesterday was telling me about a deal that they do at her school. She says, we take all kind of objects and we put them in the gym. And we make like a path, a real difficult path. Excuse me. And she said, you get a partner and he's blindfolded. And she said, the other player has to guide him through this thing. It's a team building exercise, right? Can you just do football over and over and over and over? Can you? No. You have to do what with this Generation Y player? You have to make it fun, okay? Another suggestion somebody gave me was the snowball idea. Coach told me, he says, what we do is sometimes, you know, in practices, man, we get frustrated as all get out at each other. We've been banging on each other's head, and this player doesn't like this player, and I'm frustrated because I don't like this other team. And as a matter of fact, the coach is getting on my nerves and all this kind of stuff. He says, so what we do is we give every player like five pieces of blank paper and a pen, and we say, okay, write on there the name of a person that you just want to crunch, or maybe your opponent, or maybe my name, or whatever. Write it on there and then ball it up. So they take these five pieces of paper and they ball it up. He said, okay, everybody take your pieces of paper and throw them in the middle of the gym. They pile up all these white pieces of paper. And then guess what he does? He says, we're going to have a snowball fight. Don't hurt anybody, but on three, let's throw snowballs at each other. One, two, three. And guess what they do? They go flying over there, man. They're grabbing these pieces of paper and they're just throwing them. What does that do? Is that dumb? What does that do? What does that do for the team? Number one, they have what? Fun. They laugh. They enjoy each other. They high-fiving each other. They're kidding. They're joking around. They're enjoying each other. You don't look so bad all of a sudden. You're my teammate. Right? And then when you get back on the field, they're ready to work. I'll tell you another thing it does. When you do these team-building kind of event-type things, it says playtime, work time. Right? Scavenger hunt. Hide objects around the school. Here's another thing is, if you're on a coaching staff, I'm not telling you to come up with all these ideas yourself. But what a lot of teams are doing now is, how many coaches on a high school football coaching staff? Six, seven, eight, somewhere? Three, four, whatever. Assigns everybody a different month. Make it a different month. You're responsible for this month. Come up with some fun things. A lot of teams do team nights. How many of y'all do team nights? Where you bring them down to the schoolhouse and you watch a movie. Plop a movie in. One school in West Texas was telling me Friday night in Houston, he says, we take the game film, we put music to it, we invite everybody over to watch popcorn and watch it. He goes, it's a lot more fun when we win. To do what? To get together. To be on a team. So that everyone enjoys each other and then they work together. Crazy Olympics. Do some crazy Olympics like funny, goofy relay races. You know, I mean, literally you put, do this to make it really fun. Do it as a competition. And the way I do is I line up the players from your birthday. Me, kid that was born closest to me, and the kid born the furthest away. And if you got to call your mama, here's a phone. You line them up, and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the way down. And you say, here's team 1, here's team 2, here's team 3, here's team 4. And then the fun begins. And you do, say, five crazy relays. Blindfolded thing, running one kid down. Something like that. Doesn't matter. Let them laugh. Let them have some fun. Let them high five. Because you know what? If you're not on the team, you don't get to do it, right? It's special to be on our team. Crazy Olympics. Build your own putt-putt. I take, and again, it doesn't matter. Don't think all this special stuff. I take PVC pipe, or sometimes I take tape, and I put it on a gym floor with tape, and I go to Walmart, and I buy a pack of Styrofoam Christmas balls. They work great on a gym floor. You can putt them and the thing doesn't run everywhere. And you draw a hole and then you let them build a hole. Find a bunch of objects in your garage or around the schoolhouse. They'll build a putt-putt hole and then have them putt alternate shot style. You're on my team. I go first, you go second, you go next till the ball's in the hole. It sounds goofy, doesn't it? You know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to make a long putt. Man, they'll be going high five. Right? Let them have some fun. Build a rocket ship. You can go to Walmart and you can pay $13 and buy an Estes rocket. Come in a nice little package. And you say, okay, guys, first team to get it built, first team to get it up in the air, and the team gets points. The team closest to the target gets points. And so what you do is you go out to the football field and you put them together and they'll try to put this rocket ship together. It'll take them 10, 15 minutes. That teaches what? Teach teamwork. Somebody better read too. But they're going to read the instructions. They're going to work together, and they're going to build their rocket ship. And let me tell you, man, they're going to go out to that football field, and they're going to set their little rocket ship thing up, and they're going to start doing what? Because you got to hit the target. What are they going to do next? They're testing, like their aerospace, you know, they're out there testing the wind because they know when they shoot this rocket ship off, it's going to go 600 feet and come back down and try to hit the target. The kids will absolutely love it. It's something fun. It's something special. When can you do these things? When? Anytime. It doesn't matter. A few other things. Again, we talked about the victory flag. We talked about see it, say it. Let's talk about the gold. What do I got, like 3 more minutes? I got 5 minutes? Thank you. Y'all want a few more of these? I suggest buying Grant Taft's new book, by the way. He's got, there's a chapter on motivation, and there's some good ones in there. He just wrote a new book, I want to say called Success with the Masters or something like that. It's an excellent book on motivation. But here's one of the things I got out of that. Coach Taft, before, I think it was a 1978 season right in there, knew he had a pretty good team. But he wanted a way to bind up his players and make them understand how important it was to be on the team and how hard they would have to work. So what he did, he said he got football helmet tape and a hole punch. And he went in his office. I'm sure I can see Grant Taft doing this, right? You know some assistant was in there doing this, right? But he was in there punching holes, little gold dots. And then what he did was he invited players over to his home, the freshmen, the sophomores, the juniors, and the seniors separately. And he told the freshmen, boys, it's special to be on this Baylor team. This gold dot is going to be a reminder of what it is to be on the Baylor team. And then he described what that gold was. And he took the G, the O, the L, and the D, and he put some words to it. Like on your motivation vocabulary, you can use those words to do that. It was a gold dot. And he put that gold dot on their watch. And if they weren't wearing a watch, he put it on their wallet. And he did that in the spring so they would do what? Why did he do that? To do what? Why did he put the dot on there? That's to remind them. That's right. To remind them they were on the team and they had to work hard to hit those goals. When they came back for the fall, he had a big flag in the locker room that was the dot. It was a green flag, he said, with a big yellow dot. The Yellow Dot Society. Oh, and one more thing. He told them, don't tell anyone what that dot is. Which did what? Create even more excitement. He says it helped, and they won. The two goals, they were going to win the Southwest Conference Championship, and they want to go to a bowl game. That year, they did both. Last thing I want to share with you this. Plato said this, you learn more in 1 hour of play than in a year of conversation. Last thing I'd say to you about motivating your players is, number one, get to know them. Think back when you were a kid, especially if you weren't, you know, the biggest stud player in the world. When your coach talked to you, it was a big deal. It's a big deal for your players, for you to talk to them. Talk to them and get to know them. The other thing I would say is, be creative. Come up with some creative things. There's so many different things in our book, this Coach's Motivational Playbook that's coming out through Coach's Choice. It's filled with this kind of stuff. And let me tell you this too. If you've got one of those, I would love for you to write on a piece of paper and put it on that table. Because we'll put it in the book. I promise you. And I'll leave you with this one. The Oklahoma State coach was in here before I came on. And we were laughing about being here last... talking about being in Houston together. And I'm always following him. He said, Eddie, I got one for you. I said, what's that? He said, coach called everybody to the locker room one day. He said, we gave everybody a little pin light. He said, everybody had their little bitty light or a little bitty flashlight. He says, and the room was jet black, just black as it could be. He said, the players are kind of in the room and they're bumping. And he said, find a seat, boys. And they found a seat and they sat down. And they were giggling and laughing and nervous. And finally, the coaching staff walked in the room and he said, Johnson, turn on your light. And one boy flicked on his light. Boys, can you see that light? That's strong enough? Can everybody see? No, coach, we can't see. Okay, offensive line, turn on your light. 20 more boys, turn on their light. A little bit brighter. Can you see where I'm going with this? Offense, turn on your light. Defense, turn on your light. The rest of the team, turn on your light. And the room was what? Lit up. Is that expensive? Is that hard? No. And he told his players, that's what it likes, boys. If we work together, you'll get it. If we work together. So I would encourage you to be creative in your motivations. Any questions? Any questions about any of this stuff? Or anybody have one that you're just dying to tell? Or anything that you find that really does work? Here's what's funny. I promise you, every single one of you here, if we went out there and had coffee, and I can't afford to give you all coffee, but if we went out there and had coffee, every single one of you would tell me things like that, right? Every single one of you. And you can come up with more. And I tell you this, the players will respond, okay? Thank you all very much for coming this afternoon.